First, we all would like to thank Almighty God for giving us another opportunity to come to worship, to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to reflect upon His will for us here on earth. This morning, as the song that Brother Carlos led, I told him to pick that song, excuse me, because my lesson centers around the topic victory. And if you have your Bibles, your manual Bibles or your electronic Bibles, please follow along, prepare to follow along, because I am a child of God that has been given an opportunity to give you, to deliver the message on this morning. And my teaching style, not teaching style, but I'm a teacher at heart, my preaching style is using the scriptures. The less I get in the way, the better. So make sure you have your Bibles or your manual Bibles or your electronic Bibles. Now, if I would give this lesson a topic, the topic of this lesson would be, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Now, as I was preparing for this lesson last night, I already had a lesson all mapped out. And then I said, well, sometimes we need a lesson of inspiration, a lesson that encourages us to keep our eyes on Jesus, to look past this world and the trials and the tribulations and our health issues, and look at the victory that God has given us through Jesus Christ. So I changed my lesson. And as the game was on, Charlotte's watching the game, I'm preparing my lesson. And I said, a good word from God this morning would be, victory, have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And with that said, I said, well, it would be a good idea to define what victory is. According to Webster's Dictionary, victory is success in defeating an enemy or, victory is victory in defeating an opponent or an enemy, the act of defeating an opponent or enemy, the overcoming of an enemy or an antagonist. That's taken from Webster's Dictionary. Now, Thayer's Greek dictionary gives a very concise definition, victory, and to utterly vanquish. To utterly vanquish. Now, when we think about victory, and just the verse that I read, a part of that verse, that we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, victory over what? Now, I thought, as in my teaching style, I normally have 3-5 main words that kind of phrase my message. How, why, when, where, and whom. It kind of keeps me grounded as I deliver the message. So keep that in mind. And also, in my introduction, I thought, what victory? We are no longer separated from God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer slaves to sin through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer fearful of death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're almost there. Some of us are not there yet. We are still fearful of death. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. Yeah, all right. We have access to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory over sin through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we think about it, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's how we have victory. Now, stay with me because I've got a lot of scriptures. We'll be here. Well, I won't preach too long. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of my favorite passages from the Bible, and please read along. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. This is Paul preaching to the Corinthian Christians. He says, moreover, brethren, and I like to hear those pages turning, and I will read kind of gracefully and slowly so you can follow me. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, of which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And here's the proof. He was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. He said, I'm not making this up. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. They have died. And at last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Paul says, he tells us about what the gospel is. Jesus died for our sins, and we must keep that in memory. And he said, it's according to the Scriptures. Now, one challenging thing, I thought the young people, hear me, young people, you must keep in memory the Scriptures of God in order to overcome and have the victory. But that's another lesson for the young people another day. Stay with me as we move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, or down in chapter 15, that expounds more, starting at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, and even so in Christ shall all be made alive, the victory. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Our memory verse, or our lesson title, 1 Corinthians 15:56. It talks about the sting of death, sin, which we will, in our Bible study, we will expound upon death and sin. The sting of death is sin. Why do we die? Because of sin. Because of what Adam did, we all die. But because of what Christ did, we all live. That is the victory. So it says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:1 goes on to expound. Paul said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, and if you're turning, that's 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We already have the victory. We already have the victory. And as the Scriptures goes on, in 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 5:11, it reminds us that even with the victory, there's going to be judgment. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifested unto God, and I trust also are made manifested in your consciences. It is a fearful thing, I believe, it's not in my lesson text, but I remember, I believe it's Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When we close our eyes in death, if we're not in Christ, if we don't have the victory, that's a fearful thing. to fall into the hands of the living God when you're not in Christ. Paul also said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth we know no man after the flesh, yea, though we know Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." All things are of God. Listen closely. "Who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ." I can't preach it any better, but to read it. And to read it slowly as it resonates in our mind, and how when we teach others, we should read it slowly. We should let God's word convict. I think that may be some of the problems with our young people. They're not convicted to God's word. And they may say, "Brother Roberts, when did you obey the gospel?" When I was 16, and I'm 52 now, so I know what I'm talking about. We would study on Friday nights, have Bible studies. Now, ask some young people in this audience, have you ever had a Bible study on Friday night? But anyways, I digress. Verse 19, "To the wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them." That's the victory. "And has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." He mentioned the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray ye in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." That's the invitation. Here's the invitation. Paul wrote, "We pray ye in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he has made him," that "him" should be capitalized in your Bible, but some translations don't capitalize it. That "him" refers to Jesus. "He has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We are not righteous. We are declared righteous in Jesus Christ. Let's move on. Romans, one of my favorite books. As I was preparing this lesson, I said, "Mike, you got to go pretty fast because you're going to miss your mark. You're not going to finish." Well, we have Bible study if I don't finish, because I'm leading our minds in Bible study. Romans chapter 3, if you're following along, because it's not what I say, it's what the Word says. Now, I thought, with young people, it's hard to impress upon their minds how important it is to worship and follow after God when they're young. And I often tell them, talk to your grandparents. Talk to your parents, your aunts and your uncles, your great grandparent, and say, "Mima, Grandma, Papa, show me a picture when you were young." It may give them some sense of reality that I'm just a passing through. And I will have to answer to God. I will not be young all the time. But anyway, that's another lesson. Come back. Romans chapter 3, verse 19, if you're following along. "Now we know that what things are, whatsoever the law saith, it says to them which are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, he had to cover and talk about the law, the old law, move their minds to grace and truth through Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God. Now hear me now. Verse 21 says, the righteousness of God without the law. What is the righteousness of God without the law? 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified, declared righteous freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, which God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. He reiterated in verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Believeth. Not just once, I believe. Continual believing, following. Number of scriptures come to mind where Jesus said, why call me your Lord, Lord, and do not things that I say? If you love me, keep my commandments. He that is not with me is what? Against me. Matthew 12, 30. So if we think about, we are declared righteous in Jesus. We have redemption in Jesus. We have forgiveness of sins through Jesus. Then we must stay in Jesus throughout our entire life, because tomorrow is not promised to us. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. As we move on, in Romans, Paul just, he did a fantastic job in Romans, making it clear to us what our choices are. Now, God is a God of grace and love, and I thought about, you know, some of the words that came to mind. God gives us choices, as we must explain to the young people. You have choices, but there's consequences for your choices and your decisions, even when you're young. I think my niece was telling, or her mom was telling us about a young man that loved to speed in his car. And I think maybe a week or so ago, he died. Young people, you can die. Hear me, young people. You can die and you will die. You will get old. And what will matter in the end? Our relationship with Jesus Christ. Period. But anyways, I got to stay off of the young people. Romans 4 and 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, that whole chapter, in part, dealt with talking about righteousness, and it mentioned Abraham, and that how belief, his belief in God was accounted to him or credited to him for righteousness, because we're not declared righteous by what we do. We must take God at his word. That's part of the definition of faith and believing. Trusting and taking God at his word, that some things may be hard for us to understand, why God wants me to do this or not do this, but we must trust and take him at his word. Going on to verse 6 in Romans chapter 4, even as David described the blessedness of the man of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessing upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision? Also, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. As we move on in that chapter, starting at verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He goes on to say in verse number 18, he believed in hope. In verse number 19, he was not weak in faith. In verse number 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. What is he describing? Faith. We must take God at his word. He was strong in faith, and being strong in faith gives glory to God. Verse number 20. He's talking about Abraham's faith. He was fully persuaded in verse number 21. He believed that what God had promised, he was able to perform. When we are about to die, when should your faith be as strong as it should be? Will we believe what God has promised? In this world today, they have a hard time believing and trusting in God. So where I can't see him, where is he? He's all around you. By the mere fact that we exist is a testament to God. The complexity of our body, the air that we breathe, the sun that shines now, that's why it's not dark in here. Nature itself, that we don't have an excuse. But we have a choice. We can choose faith in the inspired word of God or not. But there will be a consequence. Now, they're coming out with this movie that I think I want to see. I can't remember the name of it, but it's about when Jesus rose from the grave and they're trying to prove that they came and stole his body and they laid it somewhere else. So they're searching for the body. And in one clip, it said, he's not sure, but he said, I don't want to bet eternity on it. People are betting eternity on, well, there's no God. The Bible is not an inspired word of God. Are you sure? Eternity is at stake. But anyways, that's another lesson for another time. He talks about Abraham in chapter 4. And in chapter 4, it expounds on what type of faith he have. It was not weak. It was strong. He was fully persuaded. He didn't stagger or waver. And then it goes on to say, wait a minute, what about us? It says, verse number 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. His faith, his trusting faith in God's promises was imputed or charged or ascribed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for our sake alone, verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, declared righteous in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm running out of time. But there's part two. There is part two in Bible study. In all my lessons, I never get a chance to finish because I let the scriptures do the talking. What I say is not going to matter in the end. But you must Let me retract it. God doesn't make us do anything. You have a choice on this morning to accept the Word of God as the Word of God. To hear it, but you have heard it. To believe in the Word of God. To repent or change our attitudes, our minds, our actions to conform to the will of God. To confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To be baptized according to the teachings of Christ and the Holy Scriptures for the remission of our sins. And to live a faithful and dedicated life during our short time here. That is the invitation. So we have that option. And I can't stress it any stronger. And I thought about how can you stress to people that we're only here for a moment. When was the last time you read the obituary? Not lately, right? Because we're living in the moment. We don't think about eternity. If you read the obituary, I guarantee you, the ages will be all across the board. 86, 95, 35, 16, 20. We must prepare now. We have an opportunity now to put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. We, young people, hear me. You must fight and avoid sin. Isaiah 59:1-2 tells us that sin separates us from God. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, in John, I think it's John chapter 8, if you die in your sins, he was speaking to a group of people, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. And in Bible study, please stay, we will learn that what sin is, we will expound on it, sin is rebellion against God. Transgressing his ways and not doing what he commands. But anyways, my time is up, I believe. And I will continue this message in Bible study about how we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I will expound more on in Romans chapter 5 and in Romans chapter 6, where chapter 6 elaborates, well, wait a minute, if we have forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ and what he has done, and there's no, we can't do enough to earn, we can't earn salvation, well, let us just sin. Romans chapter 6 addresses that. We have been given the victory in Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, and we will learn, or let me say now, we are no longer slaves to sin. Now we have a choice. In Romans chapter 6, it talked about, what Paul writes about, that you either are a slave to God or you're a slave to sin. There's no in-between. But I've preached too much. The lesson is ours. I have the victory through Jesus Christ. We all have the opportunity where we're sitting in our minds to reflect upon God, to ask God for forgiveness of our sins. And also we have an opportunity to come forward to ask for the prayers of the church to help us overcome ourselves, Satan, sin, and the world. With that said, the message is at an end. And Brother Carlos will lead us now in our continual worship to God in a song of praise.